Hey, what's up? I am your host, Alex D'Alessio, and welcome to the Real Life Renovation Podcast. If you're looking to take matters into your own hands, then this is your go-to DIY and home renovation community to do just that. I invite you to join us each week as I chat with some amazing DIY creators to discuss all that goes into their DIY journey and their renovation projects that they've accomplished in their home and how you can achieve similar results in yours. If you have zero experience like I did when I started, then there's no better community for you to gain the knowledge, confidence, and inspiration to release your inner badass upon every corner of your home. So let's pick up that hammer, have some fun, and nail your home renovations together. Today on the first ever episode of the Real Life Renovation Podcast, I have one of my first DIY friends and one of my all-time favorite creators, Morgan Susie from At Life on Willow Creek, to discuss her story on how she bought a nearly 200-year-old farmhouse fresh out of high school and has been DIYing the entire renovation with her fiance. She's going to give us her go-to renovation budget tip to plan her projects and save you money, how she makes time for projects between work and social life, and so much more. We had a ton of laughs, and I personally learned some great takeaways that I'll be using in my DIY journey, and I'm sure you will too. So without further ado, I'll let Morgan take it away.
All right. Thank you for having me on. This is really cool. I am like an avid podcast listener, so being on a podcast is pretty freaking cool. As long as it's not a true crime one, then it's about me. That's good.
None of that.
But I am 26 years old. I'm from Buffalo, New York. My whole life, I have been like creative. I was into dancing and I was always crafty, but never like my family was not into like DIYs. They always hired people. It was never that thing. But I met my fiance who actually grew up next door to me, and he is hell of a handy. So together we just knew we wanted a fixer-upper, and we decided to really get a fixer-upper and go with like the oldest house we could find. Basically, that's what we do in our free time. And we also like to do a lot of outdoor activities and spend time with our dogs.
I love it. So, I mean, I've literally watched you every day on Instagram stories and then obviously all of your polished videos as well. But I don't see your fiance in a lot of the work. Does he do behind the scenes? Is it like taking out of the videos or is how does that play out? Because I see you cranking it all out.
So he is kind of like the behind the wall kind of guy. But he honestly, he went to school for building trades. He knows all the plumbing, the electrical, the drywall. And he's kind of been like my mentor. Our goal of this year is to kind of get him more on Instagram a little more. But he did a couple story takeovers. He's so funny. And he, like, as soon as the camera comes on, he gets funnier. And my followers seem to love it. So I definitely need to, like, get him on camera more this year.
But you definitely should. I feel like, because, like, obviously, this is my first episode, but if anyone follows me, they know I always like to feature Kylie, who's my wife, and all of her shenanigans. Like, obviously, she's not.
And all her texts to you.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. If I showed all the texts and the Instagram DMs stories that I get throughout the day, I could make an entire show about it. But, yeah, I found personally that people love it. So I've definitely loved to see your fiance, especially because, at least from Kylie, it's more like a comical relief. And her shitting on me, but he could probably add that. Yeah, he could add that plus like actually be like, no, this is how you should do it or blah, blah, blah. So yeah. That would be definitely cool.
Definitely on.
No, go ahead.
It's definitely on the agenda for this year. We made that a goal. So with the entry room we're working on right now, he's getting ready to do all the electrical and I stay the hell away from that. Like that's not my stuff. Because the house probably wouldn't be standing if I did it. So he'll definitely be popping into stories for all that and the drywall stuff.
Man, I might have to ask him for some pointers. Electrical is one of those things that's like, yeah, like for me personally, like I don't have anyone that like kind of taught me how to do this stuff. I just kind of, we bought a house and we were like, let's get a fixer up or we love to watch HDTV. Let's let it ride. And honestly, like, we got punched in the face by a lot of projects, but, like, I think you probably found out very similar. Like, you come out the other side just kind of, like, a little bit more skilled.
Barely.
Yeah, barely. Exactly. Like, there's some things that I still have struggle with, like drywall and all that. But there's definitely things that I feel like you come out on the other side. Just, like, did you tiled your doggy shower? For people that don't know, like, Morgan made a shower for her dog, or dogs. Sorry for there's
yeah,
two. And it's, like, one of the coolest things I've ever seen. But did you do all the tiling and stuff for that?
We did that together. At the time, I was, like, definitely afraid of the tile saw. So Ian did, like, all the cutting because I was, like, cutting my finger. And now that I've learned, like, you can't actually really, like, cut your finger, I'm like, oh. So we're going to definitely be doing some tiling coming up. And I'm going to try to be more interactive on that end of it. We literally do everything here. I think the only thing we've ever hired, which I'm big on, like, know when to hire out. Mm-hmm. We actually had found asbestos in our attic, and that was like we're not playing in that. So we hired out and made sure it was, like, taken care of professionally, so it wasn't a problem in the future.
That's funny you say that, because me personally, like, I think everyone has heard of asbestos at some point in their life and whatnot, but I didn't really know the dangers of it. You know, I just see the late night commercials of the, I'm going to mispronounce it, the mesothelioma, or however you say it, and stuff like that. And I was like, you know, I never thought anything of it. And then one of my videos went viral when I was demoing our bathroom, like our master bathroom in the summer. And I think for one of the big reasons people blew up are like, that's asbestos, like, you're ripping up asbestos. I started Googling everything. I was like, oh my God, I'm going to die. Like, because it's
scary.
I started looking up the symptoms, and I was like, I just had a cold, like, and it said, like, you have a dry cough. And then basically, like, there's no cure. Like, over the next 40 years, like, your lungs, I guess, deteriorate and stuff like that. And I was like, holy shit. And then I, like, rummaged through the trash because some of the tile that I had gotten ripped up and all the underlayment, like, I still had it before the trash guy picked it up. I sent it in for a review. It's like, I didn't even tell Kylie. I told her actually for the first time a couple weeks ago. And I got the results back months ago. And she was like, why didn't you tell me? I was like, there was nothing we could have done. Like, I either, like, got it or I didn't. And I didn't want to worry while we waited for the test results.
It was one of the first rooms we worked on our house for about a year before we moved in, which was great. We stayed with his parents, my in-laws, and one day we're like, let's go upstairs and finally do something in the master bedroom. So we had some friends over. We were not in proper PPE at the time, which now I really emphasize the importance of proper PPE, no matter what. And we were just ripping walls down and stuff was just raining on us. I actually have, like, a video and you can see all the dust particles. And come to find out, the next day we went in and we found a baggie in the ceiling. It was just tucked in there. And it was, like, this really old bag. And I Googled it. And it was, like, one of the biggest companies during, like, the 40s that produced asbestos insulation. But I'll say, if you ever come across something like that, do your research, because they actually had a trust fund and they paid for 40% of the removal cost, which was amazing because it's not cheap.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, we had the whole mesothelioma anxiety as well.
Yeah, I was scared shitless. And I think there's so many things, I think, especially for people, because I really want to make this podcast, because I'm sure you get so many messages too about people that are like, I wish I was as brave as you, or how did you learn? And I'm like, I just did it. And, like, you can do this stuff too. There's just, like, certain things you need to work through. Like, you're going to mess stuff up. Just make sure the stuff you mess up isn't, like, plumbing, like, underneath the shower, or, like, something like crazy. Like, start small and work your way bigger. And there's things that I think, like, the asbestos stuff that, like, I didn't know going in, you know, and I hope people through, you know, this podcast and other research and other ways that they kind of, you know, like to watch DIY content, is that they learn about it. Because there's electrical hazards, there's fire hazards, there's everything. And
the biggest thing people said when they found out we were going through all that was, didn't you get a home inspection? And we were like, yes, we did. But you can't see, they're not going to cut a hole in the ceiling and expose an attic that's closed off. It's not how it works.
Yeah,
it was, like, completely unavoidable. And I mean, we were already in the trenches. Like, it's our house. We're not turning back now.
Yeah, there's only so much you can do. So what was the first project that you guys tackled? And how did that work out? Did you guys, like, move in right away and were just Let's get started.
So crazy thing. We actually renovated his parents' basement into an apartment for us.
Like, no way.
I think when I was like 18, so fresh out of high school, we moved in there. Then when we bought our house, we lived in the basement still in the apartment because we didn't want to be in all the dust and stuff. So we literally did a full year of renovations. We got 10 rooms done in a year, which was crazy. Life was so full speed then. And then we moved in. Literally, we came back from our vacation where we got engaged and moved in 2 days later. So it all worked out. And obviously, we still have a lot of stuff to do.
But yeah, I was going to say, your house must, like, how huge is your house, like, square footage-wise?
I think it's 2,300 square feet, but we're adding that mudroom on now, so that's an additional. And then we actually have a huge attic that we want to dorm out in the next 2 years into, like, a master bedroom. We always say, like, this is our forever home because we can literally grow into it. It's cool the way it's set up. It's a pain in the ass, but.
That's awesome. Yeah, because it's funny because I guess everyone, you know, how their house journey goes. Like, for us, we live in Baltimore City, which I'm sure on the outside gets a bad rap. We actually live in a great, fun area with, like, a lot of young professionals kind of in between, like, fresh out of college and, you know, first one or two kids before they go on and they want to move to the suburbs and get to good schools. So our kind of strategy currently is let's have fun in this house. And then maybe when we want to move to the suburbs, like, we'll make this a rental, maybe sell it, whatever the case may be. But yeah, that's so awesome that you guys have basically, you know, obviously you can't plan out your whole life. Who knows all the twists and turns, but you guys potentially have your forever home and you get to personalize it. And show, I think the really cool thing is you're going to be able to show, like, everyone the journey of where it was through all the videos and the content that you've created.
Yeah, and it kills me because, like, early on in our home reno, I didn't even want my parents here because I was like, they're going to think we're freaking nuts buying this house. At the time, we were 22 and 24. So, like, what the heck are these young kids doing? And I didn't let my parents come over and see, like, the before they've seen pictures and videos now, but, like, I was like, you're not coming here, you're gonna be so mad at me. Like, I'm smart, don't worry, I'm fine, it'll be okay. But thank goodness I documented a lot of it on Instagram from a certain point on, so I'm grateful for that, and it's pretty cool to look back.
Yeah, I think that's why originally, I don't know about you, but that's why I started even recording stuff in the first place, because people were like, oh, why aren't you coming out with us? Or why are you doing this? I was like, I'm just in the middle of this laundry renovation. They're like, what? You don't even know how to use a drill. And I was like, oh, look at this. And I would show them videos. And then that's kind of what started, I guess, my journey to posting the content and kind of trying to create a community and joining the DIY community that is so strong. And
it's amazing. It's an awesome community. We're really lucky to be a part of it. I think on both platforms there's a pretty cool little thing we've all got going on.
Yeah, I would definitely say, like, TikTok is way, it's funny because TikTok is way more negative, I would say. No negative, but, like, you know, there's people from God knows where just going at your neck for the dumbest things, whereas my Instagram, yeah, I find people, like, giving me advice and they're like, this
you're
is
so
awesome,
nice.
Yeah, so proud of you. I'm like, oh, this is amazing. It's so funny how polar opposite they can be.
I feel like TikTok, I always say this, is, like, your ideal audience. It's your everyday people watching you. And I feel like Instagram consumers are often our own, like, our basically our coworkers, other creators.
Yep.
So they're always creeping you up. Well, besides, I have quite a few not, obviously. But, like, it's two different worlds there, definitely.
Yeah, and they both have, like, you know, their own positives and negatives, but vastly different for sure.
Yeah.
So I did have you post questions for your audience specifically to be able to ask them. So I have a few of them caked in here. And one of them that I know I'm interested in, because I know everyone's process might be different, but how do you budget for renovations? Because for me, I moved into, I call it like a 50-50 fixer-upper. Like, it wasn't like I needed to live somewhere else while I was starting the renovation. But it definitely needed a lot of TLC, in my opinion. Where, as you guys, especially so young, it's not like, you know, you're sitting on a bunch of money that you can just throw at renovations after renovations. So how do you go about that whole process?
Yeah. Well, we work a lot. At the time when we first bought our house, Ian was actually working a full-time job. He was on midnights, and then he owned a business, so he worked during the day. That was crazy. Horrible. Don't recommend it. But honestly, as for budgeting, we are really big planners. So like actually right now it's snowing, as you know, but we're planning our porch renovation for the spring summertime. So we literally sit down, we measure everything out. We write down every material that we can think of that we'll need and really try to like pinpoint prices. And then for things like that, maybe we know we want, I don't know, some patio furniture to throw in on that project. We'll watch for sales. And if they go on sale early, we'll just throw them in the garage and hold on to stuff. But we are just huge planners. I actually have a renovation planner. It's from Liz Morrow. She's another DIY creator in the community. And I bought it off of her website. Freaking love the thing. 10 out of 10 recommend it. It has like all the budget stuff, lists, everything. But we literally live by that.
I'm going to have to look into that. Me and Kylie, yesterday as we were going, this was like at like 11:30 at night, maybe. She was just like, so what's the plan? Because I started my basement renovation today and kind of what I'm planning on doing and basically making a better workshop. Because if anyone that's seen my basement, it looks like, I always say like a witch should be brewing stew down there. So I was like,
do you want to see mine?
I don't think I've seen it.
It's bad. That's where the witch lives. But, yeah.
But see, at least you have a good workshop because you have the garage, right? Or a non-attached garage, if I'm not mistaken, that you guys are kind of converting.
Yeah, we have it's a 40 by 60 pole barn that we use as our workshop. So yeah, I totally get. You got to get a nice workspace.
Yeah, so I'm there. Like, this is my workspace, my office space that I spent so much time. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to just kind of do it up a little bit, make it nicer. And so she was like, let's go downstairs at 11:30 at night before we're going to bed. I think we were watching a football game. I don't know if you're a Bills fan. Sorry if you are.
I have to be a Bills fan because I live in Buffalo, but I really am not a sports. I don't get.
Okay.
I do like hockey, I like the Sabres, but.
Okay.
Nothing
I just didn't. I was just talking about the football game because we were watching how crazy the game
over
that
was. It, though,
so okay. That's fair. So yeah, we were watching the game, and then after we were like, oh, let's go down for like 5 minutes. We were down in the basement for like an hour and a half, just like measuring tape everywhere. Like, this is how much drywall repair I need, studs, like all this stuff. And I feel like it's so awesome. Like, it sounds like you have the same thing to be able to have somebody in your corner that you can bounce ideas off of. Like, some days I look at Kylie, I'm like, no offense, but what you just said in your idea was stupid as hell. And there's plenty of days where she'll walk in the middle of renovation when she gets off of work, like, whatever you're doing, stop right now because this is how you should do it. And I'm like, I take a step back and I'm like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. So it's awesome. It sounds like you have the same kind of back and forth and like someone to bounce ideas off of.
Yeah, we kind of balance each other out the same, too. As I'm getting better with like processes like DIY stuff, I'm able to like really help, like, he'll be like, well, we have this dilemma. And I'll be like, okay, what if we do this? And he's like, no, that's stupid. What if we do this? And I'm like, but same thing. It is nice. It does help. And obviously he does a lot of like the behind the wall stuff. Like, I wouldn't have walls if it wasn't for it. Oh, teamwork.
Teamwork makes the dream work. That's what my
old coach.
You don't
see it a lot on the gram either. So
yeah.
Like other creators really are doing it solo. So.
I know. It's honestly impressive because I commend it 100%, not even just on the how to do things in a process wise, but also the creativity wise and what you want to do. Like, we're talking about what we want to do in a master bedroom. I'm like, I want to do this, and this. And Kylie's like, oh, this would be better. And sometimes I'm right, sometimes she's right. But ultimately, I think bringing both of it together, we figure out exactly how we want to go forward.
Yep.
So it's awesome. And I have another kind of question that kind of goes along with that, but like just troubleshooting and whatnot, but when you're, and we all know how it feels if you've ever done literally any project, whether it was middle school or doing a whole like master bathroom renovation, you're going to hit a point in the project when you just want to punch a hole in the wall, as I like to say, but then you realize you have to patch it, so then you don't punch the hole in the wall.
Yeah.
But what do you do in those moments when you feel like you're in over your head and you've hit that kind of breaking point in the project, but you know you have to finish it?
Well, with an old house, I think every project is just basically troubleshooting, because like you could say like, let's put some drywall up. For us, it's going to be like, we have to shim out these 1800s original tree beams.
Yeah.
Like we always troubleshooting. We always say just throw the level right in the garbage because nothing's level here. But honestly, we always just, especially me, I have to step back and take a break and just like walk away from everything and recoup. And oftentimes we are like YouTube learners. We love, Home Renovision.
Jeff.
The OG.
I call him the godfather of DIY. Yeah.
When I saw him pop up on TikTok for like the first time, he had like one follower. I was like, God has arrived.
Yeah.
But we're big on YouTube learning and just stepping away, because we're both very hot-headed people. I like to throw stuff when I'm like frustrated and a little tantrum. And you know, if you're mad, it never ends well with a project. So.
Yep. 100%. It's, I think that's my dog. I might have to, maybe we'll keep it in. Yeah, Kylie's having bachelor night over with all her friends. So
someone's at the door.
Yeah, so now there's going to be like five semi-drunk girls downstairs when I walk down there after this. So that'll be fun.
Using that new wine rack, right?
Exactly. That's what she was excited about. She was like, get the post out so we can start using, crank out the wine. It's like, all right, fine. So I guess, let me see what we got here. So one of the questions that I think a lot of people, you know, a lot of people are working full time. How do you personally balance work in DIY? Like I know, you do a lot of stuff at night, if I'm not mistaken. And then you even go through during your work day and are able to post stuff during the day. So it's almost like it's just like never ending. It's impressive.
Yeah. Honestly, we're big on a schedule, especially when we're in like a big renovation, because I'm always like, let's get this done. So we set a schedule. Like we have a couple days a week where we'll go out on a date night or we'll go to Home Depot. Well, that's usually what that is. But I'm just honestly all about like time management, to-do lists. So some mornings I get up at 4 a.m., 5 a.m. and I'll throw a coat of paint on the project. Some mornings I'll lay in bed and edit content. Like I just get up early or I'll stay up late.
Yep.
All of the things, especially with being a creator. There's that whole other level. Like you're not just DIYing. You're sharing it with everybody. So you got to do the project. You got to edit the content. Write the dang captions, which is the worst part, I feel like.
Yep. 100%.
All the things. But to-do lists really help me a lot.
Nice. Yeah, I feel like every time Kylie comes home from work, she'll be like, oh, you only got this done. I'm like, Kyle, I did this, and this. But then in the middle of it, I had to spend 20 minutes like editing all these videos to post for a story and then start a TikTok edit. And then it's just like never ending. I don't know if you've ever watched Survivor Man with, I think, Les, whatever. He's like, yeah. One of the, Bear Grylls, like me and Kyle talk about this all the time. So Bear Grylls, like he'll have a whole crew out there, but Les Stroud, maybe, I can't remember his name. He's out there, like, they throw him out in the wilderness for a week, and they're like, come to this point, and he records everything. And I remember watching one of his videos, and he climbs this giant mountain, and he put the camera on the base of the mountain. And then he's like, this mountain climb looks great. And then he shows a fast pace of him having to climb down the mountain, grab the camera, and then go back up the mountain. And that's almost how I kind of feel a lot with the projects. It's like, I could crank out so much if I didn't share. I love sharing it. It's one of the favorite parts, my favorite parts of it, but it slows you down so much.
Yeah. And there's some days where you just like don't want to record yourself and you're like, I know I'm going to regret not having this video for the dang TikTok video when someone asked me a question. So you're like, I'll paint and record. Yeah, I agree. It would move a lot faster if I didn't have to record, but also I love doing it. So I don't want to stop doing it. But
yeah, and I feel like sometimes I over record stuff and I'll go back and I'll have like five videos of me painting a wall in the same spot of like a 10 minute video. I'm like, why did I need that? This was so, but I always get the, I'm like, I would rather have too much than too little. And then you deal with phone storage. It is a pain in the ass, but.
Yeah, I still have no solution for the phone storage, so I don't know.
I know. I think I need to upgrade my iCloud to just the max, whatever it is.
Right. I had, back in September, I was working on my garage project, and I dropped my phone on vacation, and it shattered the screen so bad, and I could not get anything off of it, and we were out of town, so it didn't update my iCloud. I lost so much content I edited. That was literally, like, it felt like a tragedy. Like the Titanic was sinking. That's so sad, but we rely on that.
Yeah.
Those and are brand deals. Those aren't.
It really is crazy how much of a business it's become. And that's one of the things, I mean, I'm sure you know, but not everyone will know that I basically quit my job to just pursue it full time. Just because one, I love doing it. And two, I just kind of see the movement and not even just in DIY and everything. It's like, Ad Life on Willow Creek is a business, like, through and through, from like the smallest creators to like the top of the top. Like it's growing every day. And I think I was talking about this with one of my friends the other day. I was like explaining the whole thing of how it works. And I say internet has gotten such a bad rap the last decade because of, you know, I get it. There's definitely downsides of everything, like the cyberbullying and all that. But at the same time, I tell people you could live in the middle of nowhere, Iowa, and have the most weird niche fetish, not fetish, but something you enjoy that you only have 12 people in your town. But now you can go out there and meet all these great people that enjoy the same, like, I don't want to say weird, but unique thing that you do. And I think that's basically what DIY is like. None of my, I'm 26, you're 26 too. I don't have any friends really that own homes and are DIY, but you know what I mean? But here I met you on TikTok and now Instagram and stuff, and we share similar things. And I think that's just how the movement of everything is going. And I think it's so cool that you're able to connect with so many people that enjoy not only just DIY, but also how you deliver it.
I agree. And I have literally made like lifelong friends doing this because my real life friends could give a crap about anything related to tools. They don't.
Oh, trust me.
They don't do that.
They're like, come to the bar.
So literally like meeting, like I talk to my Instagram friends more than I talk to my real friends at this point. They are my real friends. But and like going to Haven and actually getting to like meet people in person and they're not like straight murderers. I'm like, it's crazy, but it's the coolest thing ever. And I think we're going to see a huge shift and it's just going to keep getting bigger and bigger.
Yeah, I don't think it's going anywhere anytime soon.
No.
It's a cool thing. I think anyone listening to this podcast clearly enjoys DIY, and I'm sure they have creators, not even just in DIY, but anything. And it's just awesome to be able to support other people and just find like-minded individuals. But speaking of content, this is a question that I really like. So imagine you're sitting down with HGTV producers to pitch them to do a show on you. What would you tell them sets you apart from other creators?
Well, I'm going to say the realness because you know it. You don't see the real and raw on 80% of creators' accounts, especially in the DIY community. They literally just skip to the good part. I just referenced that reel.
That was nice.
I like to really share everything because it's so fun and exciting to do DIY projects and home renovation, but it's also shitty. Like there are so many moments where you're like sitting on the floor ready to have a mental breakdown because you just tore your whole house apart and now your water's leaking and all of the things. So that's really important to me. And that's actually like one of my big goals this year is to really hone in on that. And me and Ian have a lot of funny banter when we're doing projects. So that's something that I'm trying to really share this year, like on Reels and TikTok, because that's real life. Like, it's not rainbow and butterflies all the time.
I remember, let me interrupt. I remember, you probably already know what I'm going to bring up. I think you shared it on your Instagram story. I don't know if you ever made an official post on it, But you had dropped something for your barn, like a garage. I forget what it was. It was like a window or something. And you screamed the F-bomb or something like that. I can't remember, but it was hilarious. And I just related to it so much. I'm sure you probably got so many messages, like positive, maybe negative. But I think for me personally, I want to, especially with this podcast, to bring the real life to it. Hence the Real Life Renovation Podcast. But there's a lot of great things, but there's a lot of shitty things too. Like, I remember when we bought the house and I was looking at all these perfectionists with the filters on their finished videos and in the edited pictures in Lightroom that made the stuff look way whiter and brighter than it actually probably looks in their house. And I was just like, it's so unattainable. And then when I did my first laundry room, I was like, hey, other people can do this too. And I think that by people, and I don't think they're doing it to a fault, but by glorifying how awesome the end is without giving you the meat and potatoes of the shittiness, especially the growth process as you go, you know, like that's the hardest part, like that first project. So that was something I wanted to highlight. And I see you doing it all the time. And I think that's where it's going to, I hope it goes at least.
I agree. It's real. That's important to me because I think when I share those things, I get the most DMs like, oh my gosh, this is like me and my husband, or, oh, I've been there. I know. And that's what I want. I want other people to realize like, you're not alone. Like, we say bad words when we're putting a window in together and afterwards it's totally fine and okay. But you don't see that all the time. And like you said, not to the fault, but I think that's just what Instagram like started with, is like that perfect life. And it's not perfect, especially when you own an old house, because nothing goes right. It always goes wrong. So
I feel that, because I think ours was built in 1885. And I remember when our realtor told us that when we were walking it. Well, actually, funny enough, Kylie didn't even walk the house. She didn't get to see it. It was like off market. And I was like, we're putting an offer in. Trust me. I showed her some Snapchat videos and she trusted me, worked out. But our house was built, I think, 2 years after the light bulb was invented, which is funny. So like, I just imagine people walking around with candles, and it's just, and same thing with 1830. Like, it's even before or before the light bulbs. So, like,
we didn't even have lights. I kid you not. Probably almost every room. We had two rooms that actually had lighting, like the kitchen and the dining room. We had to, like, literally, we had to walk around with candles at one point because it was so, like, behind the era. And I get that a lot from people that are like, you're destroying history. I am not destroying history.
No, I feel like. We
have preserved a lot of.
Yeah, you're just bringing it to new life.
Yeah, we literally, that's why I always say I'm reviving our farmhouse because we're literally giving life back to it, because when we found it, it did not have life. And like, we've kept all of the original Greek Revival trim. That's something we've kept.
That's
like,
so cool.
We keep a lot of like random details, little like brick wall. Like, every room we open up, there's a brick chimney for some reason. So we try to like incorporate that stuff. That's important to us.
I love that. Yeah, I remember when Kylie first walked in, I guess I didn't show her videos of the floors maybe. Like, I'm talking when she first walked in, like, we owned the house. Or maybe, I guess it was for the inspection. And she was like, what are these floors? I'm like, what are you talking about? These are original hardwood from over 100 years ago. She's like, they gotta go. I'm like, Kylie, you are insane. Like, we're probably the only house on the block that still has them. Like, that's, like, one of the coolest features of this house. We are not touching these. And eventually,
hey,
like,
better learn.
Yeah, her mom came around and we always use her mom as like our mediator, because she's like very down to earth and funny. But then we're always like, you're unbiased. You love me. You love her. Who's right? And she just like shat on Kylie, was like, you are so dumb. I will disown you if you do anything to that hardwood. So I definitely feel that old housewives. I see. I don't know if you've seen other creators. I know like Philip or Flop is one of my favorites on Instagram to follow. He like renovates like new builds, and I think a couple other creators. And I'm so jealous of that. Like, just getting a new, like, just and how easy it would be. Like, if you just got a new build and were like, give me the most standard basic thing and I'll DIY the shit out of everything else. And I would just go around being like, I want every wall. I'm going to put a square on it to make sure it's Not perfect 90 degrees. Like, that's all I want. I don't care how great the countertop is. I'm going to rip it up. Don't care about any of that. Like, I think that is probably so helpful because I know I deal with it. Like, my whole house is on like a slant, and it is even that wine shelf that I just did. I had to do like, I was going to have to scribe it and all this stuff. And eventually I was like, I'm not worrying about this like half of an inch that it's poking out, like whatever.
Yep. My dry bar is in our dining room, which we have original hardwoods under our laminate. We just at the time just didn't have the energy to do them. They needed like a lot. So they're under there, safe. But our dry bar, we literally had to like take the circular saw to the cabinet and cut it at an angle so it would sit flat. So it's very custom to our house. But you'll never tell from the naked eye, but we know. And those things kill us because we're both really big perfectionists.
It's,
we're like,
it's,
that's crooked.
Yeah. When I first started, I feel like everyone told me you'll always be able to pick apart the little things on your project. And it's so true because I'll walk people into like the master bathroom right now that I did. And I think that's probably the most proud I am of everything, of anything, because it involves so many things. And I'll just be like, look at this. Like, this grout's a little bit too wide. And they're like, what are you talking about? Like, my current house is in worse shape than this. And then I'll like go to the second floor bathroom and I'll walk around it. We have a full bathroom down there that I haven't touched. And I'll walk around it. I'm like, oh my God, like they paid a professional to do this. And I think as much as I like shit on my job, I think theirs is like unbiasedly worse.
Oh yeah. And you know, you get those comments on TikTok too about you should have hired a professional. I honestly, like, we'll go to our friends' houses that have like newer houses or like, do you see that trim? Like, it's horrible.
Yeah.
Ours is better. We did it ourselves. And I think that people always give DIYers such a bad rap, but you're working on your own home, which is like usually the most important place to most people.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to put in that extra time. Well, most people are going to put in that extra time and really try to make it look better, where those contractors are just walking into a stranger's house. They are going to get paid at the end of the day either way.
Yeah, especially. And obviously you get the comments, but no one's going to care more about your own house. And those contractors, like when I ripped up the floor tile in our shower bath, it was the same video as the asbestos one. So many people were commenting too, like those were way too easy to rip up. And you could see the coverage of the water, like they didn't back butter at all. And because, you know, this was a rent, I think they rented it before we bought this house. So they were like, whatever, as long as there's tile there, they're not going to care. Like if it lasts for 2 years, we'll be long gone by then. Don't care about it. And it's like, as a DIYer, this is your house. No one will ever care more about your house than you. And I think people, like contractors, get offended by DIYers, like, especially on TikTok. Like, I've seen your comments too get blown up by it, but I'm not shitting on a great contractor because they're well worth the money. Not for me, because I don't have it in most cases.
Right.
But it's the bad contractors and the one that skip corners. As a homeowner, you're just not going to do that. You might not be as skilled and it might take you five times as long, but you're going to make sure like all those tiles are level and you're going to use your laser level on all of them and everything like that. And I think that goes such a long way. And they get so offended by it.
Oh, yeah. When my videos end up on contractor TikTok, it's either contractor or realtor TikTok. And I am just like, you need to stop.
Yeah.
They get nasty. Sometimes, though, when I'm feeling spicy, I'll use hashtag contractor just to like get on that side of TikTok.
Nice.
That's always a fun ride.
That's I remember one of my favorite TikToks you posted, and I think it's so true, is the one, I think it was about your the garage / barn where you had posted a TikTok when it was basically like, screw you, like make your house for you and nobody else type. I can't remember the exact words, but that was essentially.
Yes. I posted the video of like the makeover, well, just putting the window in because we're still working on that room. I posted that and went to bed, which is probably like the worst thing for someone who has anxiety. In the morning, I woke up to like, you know, like the worst comments ever, of course.
Yep.
And that one was from a realtor who was like, good luck selling your house. You'll never make money. And I was like, sir, you couldn't even park a car in here before. Now I'm going to be able to have like a heated room.
Yeah.
That video is, it's still every once in a while it picks up and I'm like, here we go again.
Yeah.
Magic of TikTok.
The ride as a creator can be like so fun, but at the same time, you're just at the mercy of all these people that, you know, for whatever reason, just have nothing better to do than to just spread negativity in the world. And it can be so frustrating, especially on projects that you know, you worked your ass off and you're really proud of, and then people will just annihilate you. And a lot of times, you know, you can't tell a lot of things from videos. Like, people will say stuff in my videos and I'm like, they're just wrong. I just don't have the effort to respond to them. Like, I'm looking at it like dead in the eye and they're just wrong. Or they're like, when I put drywall in my shower, I purposely like didn't put the waterproofing part where Schluter literally gives you a membrane, and in their YouTube and their instructions says you can use drywall and you like it's completely waterproof up to like 30 meters down in the ocean, like insane waterproofing. And all these people were like, no, you don't know what you're talking about. I'm like, sir, like Schluter has it in their like instructions that you don't need any cement or anything. You can literally be put on drywall. And they're like, oh, it's going to leak. Yeah, it's just a pain.
I was going to, because when we did our window, everyone's like, you didn't do the weather seal. I'm like, I did every step of the process that's properly like how to install a window. And we have all this snow right now. And of course, it's fine because we did it correctly. I was going to do a TikTok to be like, there's no water in here. Like, if any time would be now. But yeah, they are savages. And it's always things, too, that they like don't see like the full detail. It's like not everything fits in a 30-second clip.
Yep. That's the worst, is when they come into a random video. Like, usually the people that are kind of watching your series, they'll get it and they'll understand it. But it's those random ones like hit the For You page on TikTok and saying special, that they just have no background info of what's going on and they'll just shit on you. Wait, I think I just heard my doorbell. I think we're good. But all right, let me ask. I have a question that I know I get a lot from people that are looking to get into it. What are your must-have tools for a newbie?
Ooh, definitely don't take the route that the TikTok people say and like buy the most expensive tools. You don't need that.
Yeah.
Definitely like a circular saw is great to start with. If you can afford a miter saw, get yourself a miter saw, a drill, an impact driver. What else? And just basic like hammer. You don't realize how much you actually need those basic tools. Those are definitely my must-haves. And my Brad Diller. I use that honestly for almost every project.
That's one of my favorite tools to use. I just feel such a badass when I use it. Like,
I have a good story about that, actually.
What you got?
Actually, when we were doing this room right here, this closet had like some weird piping in the middle of it. We had a friend that didn't move it. They left the hole before we did flooring. And I had just gotten a battery Brad Diller. I always had the compressor one. So I like went to put in like something in the wall and I was so excited. I like did like a 360 jump to like be like, whoa, this thing's so cool. I fell right in the hole into our basement, into open ductwork. Literally my legs were in the basement. My leg was all cut off. I was like, it was so bad. I was crying, but I was like, this is actually so funny.
Did you get it on video? So,
no, because it was before my Instagram.
Oh, that would have been so cool. That would have been so funny. It's funny, when I got my first Brad Diller, one of my friends came over and it was in the middle of, I think it was my bookshelf renovation or something like that. And he came over to go to brunch or whatever. And I was just showing him around. I was like showing him my cool new Brad Diller. And he obviously didn't give much of a shit, but I was just like pointing it around at him, like not at him, but just, you know, doing my thing. And he started freaking out because I don't know if anyone, you probably know, but it doesn't shoot unless it has compression on, like it's pressed right up against something. And I didn't think that I would have done the same thing had like 2 weeks before owning it. But yeah, he started freaking out like, oh my God, like put that thing down. And I was like, oh my bad. Like, I promise it couldn't have shot at you. I'm so sorry. But yeah, I definitely think those are good newbie tools. I think the main thing that you hit on and is one of my main messages, especially going forward, is you don't need the super expensive tools. I have so many people in my mentions. Like, I think I was using Ryobi a lot, and then I kind of switched over to Heart, who I like a lot now too. But a lot of comments would be like, oh, he's using Ryobi, I don't trust anything he's doing. And I'm like, I'm not going to pay triple the price for a drill when, like, I'm not doing anything crazy. Like, I totally get it. I worked for Clark Construction, which is a big general contractor around here, just as an engineer. And so, like, my full-time job was kind of managing construction workers and stuff. And I totally get it if you're a contractor, a construction worker, and your livelihood depends on that drill working on that day. Or that nail gun, because if it doesn't, then you have to drive, you know, 2 hours to Home Depot, go get it. That's you losing money. And as well as maybe it doesn't work as quickly by like 3 seconds, whatever the case may be. And I'm like, as a DIYer, especially if you're getting started and you don't have a super budget, like getting affordable tools, is so wholeheartedly just want to, I tell people that all the time. I just think it's the move to go.
Oh, definitely. And like you said, contractors are putting, like, they're using it all day, where a DIYer, you're going to use that drill, maybe a couple screws here and there. You're not putting that constant, like, tool to use. But honestly, I can tell you, Ian is a huge rigid tools fan. So we have, like, every tool that I have all my Heart tools, but he also has the rigid. And, like, yep, we like to test them sometimes. His rigid drill started on fire doing my cornhole board.
I remember that.
And started on fire. So it's not, people just have it in their head that, like, you have to have the Milwaukee and the DeWalt and the Rigid, and you don't. You can get these projects done, and that's, I'm the same way, like, affordable tool, that's all you need. And even, like, I found a lot of stuff. We got, like, a drill press on Facebook Marketplace. You can estate sales. You never know what you're going to find. You don't need to invest all that money on a tool, but it is fun. I'll give people that.
Yeah, no, and I think that's a great point. I've heard Rigid, you know, and I think Milwaukee and DeWalt might do the same thing. If it breaks, you can bring it in for free or something like that and get an exchange, like, kind of no questions asked type thing, which I definitely think is awesome. And if you can afford it, I'm sure they are slightly better tools. And especially one of my friends just bought a house, and I tried to convince him so hard not to get DeWalt stuff, or, like, he's just like, I want the best of the best. I'm like, and he's not really interested in DIY. He's, like, literally going to be, like, screwing picture frames to the wall and stuff. I was like, will you not do that? He got, like, a whole $700 combo kit. And I was like, please, for the love of God, just, like, get an inexpensive drill. And if you use it a lot, then definitely upgrade. Like, for instance, like, I got a miter saw. It was Ryobi, and it was, like, the 10-inch one that doesn't slide, to make you do bigger cuts. Because when I first bought it, I was like, when I first bought it, I was like, it was one of my first projects, I think, on the laundry. I was like, how much am I really gonna start DIYing and stuff? And if I could go back, I totally would do it. But when I was first starting, like, I was like, you know what, I'm not gonna pay the extra $60. Who knows how much I'll actually ever use it. And now every time I'm like, damn, I wish I got that.
Yep, we did. Ian, like, before I got into DIY, he wanted the rigid table saw. And I was like, this is the stupidest thing. You're going to use it once. We're never going to touch it again. And literally, we use it 2-3 times a week now. And he's like, oh, you like my table saw now? I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
Now that I know how to use it.
Yeah. It's helpful. I think that's probably the most intimidating tool, in my opinion. I guess that's a tool. When I think tool, I usually think, like, handheld. But the table saw, the miter saw is less than circular saw, because I feel like you have more control of it, and it's, like, your actual hand. But, like, the table saw, I always get scared shitless that something bad's going to happen.
No matter how many times they use it, I'm like, oh, boy, here we go.
Exactly.
I did get the flip top.
Saw that. I actually clicked your link. I think you put a link. It was like,
Harbor Freight has one, too, if you have that. But they have one too. But if you do a lot of, like, bigger sheets and stuff by yourself, it is so nice to have that. Because when you're by yourself, sometimes it's not possible to rip stuff down.
Yeah, it can definitely be. Yeah, that's definitely. And I recently, it draws a lot of power. Like, I cut the whole circuit breaker in my house one time trying to rip poplar wood. just because it's more dense, I guess, than pine. And just like everything shut down. I was like, oh, there goes my there goes my table saw. But yeah, I definitely agree with the whole combo kit and stuff for the newbie tools. I did want to, so that's kind of all of our long-winded questions that I want to go into. I did want to give you a quick fire round of just some questions kind of off the top of your head. No right or wrong answer. So you can touch on it more if you want. It can just be a quick yes or no type thing, whatever you want. But we're going to let it rip. So here's the quick fire round. First one is favorite tool and why?
Oh, okay. Definitely, this is random, but my battery powered cop gun, I use the hell out of that thing. So we have an old house, so nothing's ever perfect. So I rely on it and I love that damn thing.
That's so funny because one of the first things I invested in, well, invested in, I got like the cheapest caulk gun I could get at Home Depot. It's one of those things that I regret every day too. Not every day, but every time I use it, I was like, this was, and it was only like $5, so I can get a new one. But when I worked in construction, kind of managed trades, so I didn't really work in the trades. But one time we were like, had to, a quick inspection for like a fire marshal and something needed to get fire caulked. And I used one of their, like, it had to be like over $100, like Hilti caulk gun. It was like heavy duty. And I was like, this thing is badass.
They are so fun. I guess my favorite tool would probably be the Brandler, but that one, like, I just love that damn thing.
I feel like there's definitely certain things that you figure out that you just hate. And there's things that you're, like, for me, caulking is one of them. So anything that I honestly should have invested in a better caulk gun by now, but anything I can make that a better experience for me, it would definitely be worth it. I might have to look into that. All right, next quick fire. Favorite project that you've done?
I will say our dry bar, because we use the heck out of it. Like, we have all of our game night stuff in it. We have a whole bar set up, cooler, like the drink cooler. So, like, friends come over, I like get the LED lights on. It's just a cool vibe. That's definitely my favorite project. And the doghouse.
Nice. Yeah, I always, if anyone wants to see the dry bar that Morgan's talking about, go check it out. I messaged her one time, and I guess she gets a lot of these same messages. I was so baffled when I found out that was a wallpaper and not a backsplash. And if you haven't seen what I'm talking about and you're listening to this podcast, go check it out on Instagram. It's probably on TikTok too, but you can definitely find it on Instagram quickly. It legitimately, from every single angle, at least on video, like I still can't tell. It just looks flawless, like hair. I guess it was that herringbone. I don't know.
Yeah, it's like a herringbone. It's so funny because I wanted tile. I bought all the tile. I got all the grout, the border. And then I was like, what if I want to change this? Yeah. And then I saw that wallpaper and I was like, oh boy. And literally every person, even people come to our house are like, I thought that was wallpaper, or I thought that was tile. And I'm like, nope, fooled you.
Yeah, I love that. And I feel like so many people think that renovations have to be these crazy things. But like paint and some wallpaper can do amazing things. Changing a light fixture, you know, changing shitty base molding, like putting crown, like stuff that's not super expensive, but visually can drastically change an entire room. Like flipping furniture. Like, so that's what I tell people. It doesn't always have to be super expensive. Like, how much was that wallpaper? It couldn't have been that expensive.
I think it was like $20 for two rolls, and it's held up great. Beautiful quality, like touching it, it's amazing. But I agree, like my whole thing is home does not have to be expensive to be beautiful.
Not at all.
There are so many ways you can, like, not cut corners, but you can save money doing certain things a different way, doing them yourself, all of the things.
Yeah, and I love when it's not as permanent and binding. Like tile will go, you know, unless you, I guess, like do a classic like Subway, it's going to go in and out of style no matter what. But you know, wallpaper, like at the end of the day, paint colors, like that's never really going to change. It's going to change, but it's changeable. And I just think it's an awesome way. And I feel like technology too, especially with, I haven't used it yet, but like I've heard the peel and stick wallpaper is really good. I haven't personally used it.
Peel and stick is good, but I will say I'd rather install the pasted wallpaper. So if you ever do wallpaper, go with the pre-pasted for your first time.
Okay, that's good to know.
You gotta spray a little water on it, but it's so much more forgiving. This wallpaper that's in my office by my doghouse was, I think we almost broke up when we were trying to put it up together. It was so hard to get up.
I've heard it's one of those things that is a pain in the ass. But I've only seen people do it. I've never taken on that task. So that might be, maybe I'll have to do that with Kylie before we get married, just to make sure we're still compatible. Okay, this kind of goes into the next question. So time when you wanted to punch a hole in the wall.
Every project. No. Honestly, probably our laundry room project. That was, I signed up for the one room challenge, which I will never sign up for again with my house. But we had, I'm sure you've seen the before pictures, so much plumbing. So there's propane lines, and it seemed like no matter what, we still had to go to Home Depot and get something else. Like, we never had it right. That was the whole project was punching the wall. But honestly, small projects, I'm the small details I get really worked up with. I have ADHD, and I think I like hyper fixate on small details, and I probably every project have a moment.
Do you think that helps you, like, kind of fixating? Because I have a theory
I have diagnosed ADHD and anxiety, so they kind of like work like the devil and angel together to give me like the best energy to tackle projects. So yeah, I think so.
That's funny. I have a theory, and I've told Kylie it. I think there's different personality traits that make a good DIYer or, you know, someone, but I think there's a level of stubbornness that goes into it. I also have a theory, and me and my friends, we had a game night the other day, and we were laughing how half of us, if we go to a grocery store like Home Depot or Lowe's, whatever the case may be, or Target, if we have something we're looking for, like, we won't, half of us wouldn't ask for help, and we just browse the store and figure it out using context clues, and the other half would go directly, and we were like fighting. And me personally, I don't know about you, but I was one of the people that I will just figure it out, and I won't ask anybody unless I need to. And I think that's why I enjoy DIYing, is because it's literally like, I don't need to ask for help. I'll go on YouTube and I'll figure it out. Like, unless I literally need to call a professional, and I understand when I do, I'm just always been in that, I'll, you know, no questions asked, I'll just browse and figure it out. So I just think there's so many funny personality traits, like, for you, how that works for you. For me, it's a little bit of stubbornness, a little bit of, you know, a bunch of other things, but there's no, in my opinion, there's no perfect mold, if that makes sense. Like, there's
I think all of our small little traits kind of add up to make us these ideal DIYers. As for, like, asking for help, I feel like women, we have it a little different. Like, in Home Depot, I'm sure you've heard the horror stories from other creators.
Yep.
I will avoid help at all costs. I went in and got all the electrical stuff by myself the other day, and, like, I was running full speed with the cart, and literally, like, people were popping out of the aisles like, do you need help? And I was like, no, never. And, like, I just won't. I have the app, YouTube, I will figure it out, and if I can't, I'll go out to the car, phone a friend, and then I'll go back in, and do not ask for help.
I would love to see a poll on the amount of people that enjoy DIYing and, like, do that exact same thing. Cause I always use, like, the Lowe's or Home Depot app, and I'll just be like, oh, it says aisle 12, bay 5. And, like, that's where I go. Like, and meanwhile, I could have asked the person that was 5 feet away from me that works there, and he would have told me, or he or she would have told me within like 10 seconds. And I'm like, nah, I'll spend the minutes going on this, app with barely any signal in the store.
Yeah, I was going to say, it never like loads fast enough for me. And I'm like, nope, I got it. I'm fine. But when I do actually need help, like, I went to get all of the shingles. They're heavy and I'm 5 foot. So I was trying to, like, sling them into the cart, and, like, 10 employees just walked past me. And I was like, the one time I would actually like your help, you are not helping me. Granted, I should have asked, but, like, I was in distress. They should have just helped.
Yeah. Honestly, I'd say it all the time, but I have a theory that I think Lowe's is better than Home Depot, but it could be locally for me. But I think the Lowe's workers are so much more helpful than I've ever found any Home Depot. And this has been across, like, I have like 3 or 4 Lowe's within, you know, 20 miles that I'll go to different ones. For me, they're just head and shoulders above Home Depot and just about everything.
It's hit or miss for me. We don't have a close Lowe's. We do love Lowe's lumber section though. Like their lumber.
Yes.
I don't have to dig through piles and piles and piles of 2x4s to find a straight one.
Yep.
But I feel like our Lowe's is like subpar to, like, I always hear you say that yours is like your best customer service. I'm like, I'm missing out or something. I don't know.
That's funny. Maybe it's a local thing. Maybe I should do a poll on that too. All right. We have 2 more questions. Most challenging skill you've learned or maybe even not learned yet. And I'll give you, I guess, my quick example. Mine is like drywall. Like, it's one of those easy things, that drywall mudding. And I, like, one of our good friends, Kim, the amateur DIYer, she's actually going to be the next guest next week. We just saw her struggle immensely through drywall in her bathroom.
I was there giving her, she always texts me to get a hold of Ian to give her the tips and tricks. She calls him boss. My love, Kim. She's like a dear friend. I will say math for me, I've always struggled with. So just like the overall skill of math, I need to improve. But a skill I really want to learn this year is welding. And it is so random, but like, it's just so interesting to me. It's like an art. So I really want to try to do that. We're actually going to try to, Ian's going to teach me in stories how to weld. We're going to do like our handrail for our mudroom. So I'm excited.
That's so badass.
So hopefully I don't set anything on fire or burn myself.
That'll be so cool. Yeah, I would definitely love to see you document that process. I would love to see how intricate it is. All right, last question. And you can't give me Kim because I just told you she's going to be the next one. One creator you'd like to see on the podcast?
Ooh, I got like a lot of people that would be very good.
You can
candidates.
Rattle them
and
off.
Honestly, my answer probably would have been Kim. That's tough. There are so many amazing creators, like, for different reasons. You're really like making me think here, and I can't remember anyone's name now. I'm blanking.
It's okay. I got a couple in the rotation that.
I will see my friend today, Meg at Baker Blooms, because she's just like creative in a different way, like with her colors and her designs.
Your
and I
murals.
Think it'd be really interesting to like hear into her brain. She's another dear friend of mine too. There are just
I
so
love
many
her work.
Talented people in this community. You can't just like pick one.
I know.
You got to interview them all.
I know. I have a lot of people that reach out to me that are want to get on it. And I think that's what's so cool about this community is, you know, a lot of people, you know, you literally have like legitimate friendships where we're hyping each other up and we want to help each other and create a bigger community, inspire more people. So I got a lot of good feedback from people wanting to jump on and who they want to see on. So I'm excited. Kim will be the next one, and then we'll keep on moving. But
you're going to have the filter on for her, I think.
Oh, I know. I know. It's gonna be a lot of fun back and forth. Yeah, she's fun. So that's all I had. Did you have anything, closing remarks?
No, I just want to say thank you for having me on. This was really cool, and I feel like we are very similar in our approaches to like the whole DIY home stuff. So it was nice to chat with a like-minded folk.
Yeah, I appreciate you being the OG on the podcast. I know.
Yeah, do I get a trophy?
I can make one. Like DIY okay. A trophy. Yeah, I appreciate you kind of taking a leap of faith and being the first guest on here without getting to have anyone take the brunt of the probably all the mistakes and the audio mishaps that'll happen undoubtedly from this editing process that's here to come. But yeah, I appreciate you jumping on at Life on Willow Creek on Instagram, TikTok, and where was it, Home Talk you mentioned?
Yeah, it's called Home Talk. You should definitely, if you're not on there, you said you don't know download their app. It's pretty cool. It's all like home projects.
Cool. I will definitely look at that. So yeah, everyone go follow Morgan. She keeps it real. She is awesome across all accounts, across everything she does. And you will not be sad if you do follow. That's probably not the best hype that I've ever given, but I just want to again say thank you so much. And yeah, welcome to the Real Life Renovation Podcast.
Awesome. Thank you for having me.
That interview was awesome. Morgan was amazing. And this concludes the first ever episode of the Real Life Renovation Podcast. I had so much fun and I have so much more to bring you. So a couple of things you can do if you like this podcast, you can rate it 5 stars or even 4 stars. I mean, I'm not greedy. If you want to do that on whether you're listening to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, whatever it is, if you could do that, leave a review. Anything positive is great. If it's negative, you know, be nice. Don't leave it. No, but I appreciate your support. You can follow me at Real Life Renovation. That's 1L. So at REALIFE Renovation on Instagram and TikTok. Come message me. Come chat. Let's have some fun. And ultimately, let's keep inspiring each other. So thanks again. And I can't wait to bring you the next episode.